I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, John Travolta's face.
Off. Okay, important point to raise. Where has Vignali gone? I know that sounds like a sort of lame Where's Wally alternative, but where has Vignali gone? Folds Vignali.
Are they not making them anymore? They well, are, though, aren't they?
Have they? Because I haven't seen one in such a long time. And I don't think has ever bought one. So therefore...
No, that's... I disagree because I've seen them around and always been surprised and gone, bloody hell, someone's bought one of those Vignali Fords because they're quite expensive, aren't they?
They are.
Are they retirees? You know how retirees often will downsize but still want a bit of luxury? So they'd get a Metro Vanden Plas.
Oh, yeah.
In the past, or Fiesta Gear.
Yes. So they'd well appoint a smaller car.
Yes.
Or a lower-ranking car.
Yeah, it's the classic retiree gambit. Go smaller, but go posher. What you would have spent on a Cortina GL, you could get a Fiesta Gear and some change. Ooh, and it's so luxurious. It's got velour seats.
Get a timeshare, of which it would sound like the package you were going to buy would be called the Vignali package, I always think, which would be, like it could be good. Should we go for that? Get access to the pool between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. Ooh. Or you get your own parking space, even though we don't have a car when we're abroad. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that's useful.
But I always also look at those Fords and go, oh, look, there's a Fiesta Vignail. Oh, that's posh, isn't it?
I like the
Vignail.
Vignail.
Always fancy. Vignail.
It's a bloke on his third marriage, foreign woman. He's obviously from Essex. And she's called Vignali, but he just can't say it. He's just totally unable to say it. Vignail. Vignale. Where... Oh, that's not
Vignali.
Even... That's not even Essex. Vignale, where are you?
It's the surname. It's the surname of a man.
Vignali, where are you?
It's the surname of a man who's also from Essex, but he's one of those guys who can sort you out with whatever you need.
You need what?
You need some ladders? Talk to Vic. Vignali, he'll sort you out. He's got everything.
Hang on a minute.
He's a good lad, Vic. He's good.
Do you know what it could be? It could be the name of a handy driver that Ford is going to use to combat the popularity of Vin Diesel. So everyone goes on about Vin Diesel. Ford's like, no, bollocks, I'm not having that. We need a slice of this pie. So we're going to have Vignali, who's the arch enemy of Vin Diesel. I think it's probably because Ford's... I forgot to say this in last week's podcast, but did you see that Ford's has lost Ken Block recently to Audi?
Yes, I saw. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt a bit sorry for Fold. Actually, felt a bit. I don't know. Felt
what,
like
you
that.
Thought it was like them going through a breakup.
Yeah, and you know when you see maybe an ex.
Come back, Ken. We've still got all these used tyres you ruined.
That's right. You know, you turn up at a friend's wedding and your ex is there with a new partner and you're like, oh look, Ford's over there. Ken's with Audi. Oh. I felt a bit sorry. Also, is it as cool? Is Ken being in an Audi as cool? Because you have higher expectations, don't you? Because it's a more premium brand. Will they just coolly and calmly throw tens of millions at the problem / car?
And, it's funny, isn't it?
Will it leave you a bit
skidding
cold?
Skidding about like an oaf is sort of fits with Ford in the nicest possible way.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure it does fit with Audi.
Well, Fords are, we've said this countless times before, they're inherently a more playful car, even non-sporty Fords. And whereas an Audi is not a car I would ever describe as playful, really. Most of them are not. The R8 is playful. Most of the RSs aren't playful, really. They're like assassin fast.
Yeah.
But... that's
quite serious.
Yeah, a bit serious. I felt serious driving the Audi RS. But,
maybe that's what they need. They need just a rival called Ken Serious.
Ken's serious.
You see, there's a massive sweeping curve on an airfield, and then he just drives around it. Absolutely four square solid. No sliding, just drives around it really fast.
Like these current WRC cars where you see them doing a tarmac route, and you just go, someone's sped this. This has all been sped up.
Or you go, oh, bollocks, this is CGI, isn't it? Come on, make it realistic, guys.
And then you realise that Elfman Evans is driving a car just really, really fast. in fact, I'm surprised that Elfman Evans hasn't been pulled up for going, listen, only humans are allowed to compete in WRC. I'm not sure an elf is quite a human. We'll have to just...
Is that why he can...
Elfman Evans.
Is that why he can corner so fast? Because he is, in fact, magical.
Well, he weighs 2 kilos, Richard. Have you ever picked up a lung?
A what?
Have you ever picked up a lung? You know, like a lung from an animal or from, say, a butcher's shop, for example?
Yeah.
Or at school,
kind of, yes.
When you had to dissect things that nobody wanted to.
We once had a pair of rabbit lungs on a tray. I have picked that up.
Sweet. Well, do you remember how light they were?
Not really, because I didn't know how heavy the tray would have been without the lungs in it. But
that's a fair point.
Are lungs light?
Lungs are incredibly light. My daughter had her lung fest at school about 6 months ago, I think. And
do they still do this at schools then?
She did.
Have phased it out.
No, she said there was they were allowed to look at and dissect a cow lung, and a cow lung is, as you'd imagine, quite a large piece. And
she
said it was ridiculously light. She said it was
almost... How big's a cow lung? Like a size of a rucksack? A big rucksack? Like a camping rucksack? Because I'd imagine our lungs are about the size
of... Don't measure things in rucksacks, you absolute flu.
But I'm just trying to find something of equivalent size, and in my mind, you know, I'm thinking it's
Capaccio of rucksack.
Cows are bloody big, aren't they? A full-size cow.
A
cow is a unit.
I'm looking at one right now. They just... A lot of focused weight on quite a small hoof, hence why you don't want to be stood on by a pregnant cow or a bull.
You don't see cows... rearing up on their hind legs, do you?
No. I see them running.
The bull might do that
again.
But you don't ever see them just rearing up like a horse. A horse can rear up on its hind legs, but a cow, they're dense, aren't they?
They're big old bastards. Dave, the field at the back of our place. We had some friends over a few years back who live in Australia who is an old friend of my wife, right, from school. Her husband's an Aussie. They came over, they stayed with us for 3 or 4 days, and it was very, very sunny. Anyway, we took them for a country walk, post-food walk, just around the back fields, admiring British nature. And we were in this field full of cows, and I sort of just didn't reference the fact that there was an enormous bull amongst the other cows, because... I've never had issues with bulls. So, the chap, with his son, who was actually really young at the time, like 4, he just went, oh, should we go and pat the cows? And just walked off into the middle of the field where all the cows were, whereas we were going around the edge to get out through a gate to another field. He just walked straight up to cows, and it turns out he walked straight up to the bull, oblivious, and was just petting its nose.
Oh.
This thing was enormous. You know, it was like the size of a Hyundai Kona. And in fact, similar haunches at the back.
So I'm not allowed to compare the size of lungs to rucksacks.
No.
But it's perfectly fine for you to casually use Korean cars as
if you said, is it like a Van Gogh Eastwind 110 rucksack? I go, oh, well... I can find out quickly what the Van Gogh Eastwind is. It's a bit like, but you know what a Hyundai Kona is because you're a car saddo, so you kind of know the genre. So there you go. It's not a horse mess.
I'm trying to think now. I feel like a bull would be longer than a Hyundai Kona.
Actually, a bull is longer wheelbase. You're absolutely right. Oh, bollocks.
Definitely longer wheelbase.
Tall. It is tall, but is it a crossover or an SUV?
I think bulls are proper off-roaders, aren't they?
Well, Mitsubishi Pajero, Japanese import,
Maybe. Three. Does a bull have a separate chassis? I'm
not sure. Yes, I think it does, actually.
I think they do.
I think a bull has. Well, because if they break into... This was my other thing. If they put power down, cows and bulls, there is a delay between the power being fed in and actually getting some some kind of grip. Because trotters, they're just not that grippy, are they? They're like a cheap tyre that's not fit for purpose. You know,
I suppose not.
A road tire on wet grass is just not fit.
They're not
for
grippy.
Purpose.
No, I suppose they're not grippy.
They're not nimble. They're just... I don't think, unless you're a matador and you're really pissing a bull off, in which case it can probably turn really keenly and give you one.
Well, now there's another question.
What
do cows and bulls regularly break their legs? Because horses are always breaking their legs, aren't they?
They are. They look very vulnerable.
What horses do, yeah. Horses just are constantly breaking their legs. But you think, cows and bulls look like they're carrying more weight on, but I suppose on maybe shorter legs. So perhaps they're just less.
They are shorter.
I don't know. Any farmers listening who want to are rolling their eyes at this point, do get in touch and let us know.
Well, listen,
I feel like I've never heard of someone going, "Oh bloody hell, my cow's broken its leg." Whereas horses,
you know what, bollocks. Clarkson's just made a fairly handsome living from talking bobbins about farms and learning on the job. Let's do it. Let's do it. That's why we...
Smith and Sniff's farm.
Yeah, we need to... We need our own countryfile spin-off that's not entirely countrified. There comes with debate and not a lot of substance to some of it. I think it would be great. I'm actually a keen learner with agriculture anyway, or agri, as people in the know call it, which I quite like.
It's interesting. One of the most frightening things I ever did as a kid, or as a teenager, was we went to stay with some friends of the family who had a farm down in Wales. And I went out into the fields one day with the farmer and his son, who was about my age, because the bull had got his stupid big head stuck in. You know those, you ever seen circular feeding things?
Yes.
They're probably
like a carousel kind of.
Yeah, and they've got the sort of solid, you know, panelling down the bottom and then slatted top with a ring around.
Yeah, like a drum, like a feeder drum.
Yeah, and the cows can put their head in, they just dump a load of straw and stuff in the middle and the cows can stick their heads in and feed. But the bull, with his stupid big head and his horns, had stuck his head in and then got jammed. We had to go and get him out. But at one point, the farmer, David, was like, "Right, you hold the thing, whatever it's called, the feeder thing, down. I'm going to twist his head." His head. His hands slipped. We're all inside the feeder at this point. His hands slipped off the horn. The bull backed off and flicked its head up and lifted the whole feeder off the ground. And suddenly, we're standing beneath this flailing fucking feeder thing that is the bull is sort of flicking around with its massive head and its huge shoulders.
They're
and there's
so
a brief
strong
moment where we're like, we're just going to get smashed into the ground by the feeder, which is still attached to the bull.
Well, I know the power of a bull, having run with the bulls in Pamplona. I am aware of. I've run with the bulls in Pamplona. And
get away! When did you do that?
Bastard, terrifying. First year I ever went freelance. I'd been made redundant, and I just took all of the jobs which I was offered straight away. And one of them was a guy I used to work with in magazines. He'd set up a contract publishing kind of thing, and it was for Mazda's Customer Magazine. I risked my life. For a very small feature in Mazda's Customer Magazine about running with the bulls in Pamplona. What sort of an absolute scrotal lesion am I? Honestly.
Like, how many words was it? Like 300 or something?
Oh, it was really quite minor, and I genuinely could have died. I don't even know why. I mean, he tried to pay me danger money, but it wasn't enough. And not only that, this was...
Oh my God.
What was this? 2006, so YouTube was young, not long started.
Yeah.
And I did video it. I did have a video camera. I attached a video camera to myself, one of those sort of bullet cameras. Somewhere I've got really shaky, bad footage of me. And they made me wear red as well. So everybody else was wearing white, as is traditional in Pamplona.
Who made you wear red?
The the person that commissioned the story. I mean, thinking about it now, I mean, I don't know why I did it, Rich. I just don't know. But I did it.
Now, hold up.
Yeah.
Is this not a myth that bulls are enraged by red?
Well, I wasn't going to find out. I made sure I ran like hell. I think the bull is just annoyed in general in Pamplona, because what they do, which still bemuses me, is that I think it's three bulls get let out and they're in a pen at the bottom of the kind of hill of the town. Obviously, all of the route that bulls take is all fenced in, so they can only go one way. And to make sure the bulls get off to a spirited start, they let a cannon off in the back of the barn.
Fucking hell.
A cannon. A cannon? I'll say it again. A cannon. Not a shipping horn, not a small firework. A cannon. So you can imagine the speed and the ferociousness at which the bulls come out. And going back to the comment about bulls having an enormous amount of power and not a great amount of grip, this is all on cobbles. So there is some serious both ends going. What's our Audi slogan again?
Buyer end again.
But yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And I saw it, and the bulls regularly fall over. And some people get fallen onto, and that can be easy death. So
yeah.
I was aware of the fact that almost every bull run, somebody, usually a foreigner, gets crippled.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is real now. And I remember
if I see this through to the end, I'll get my 450 words in Mazda magazine.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I got 500 quid for it. That's very low, thinking about it now, considering I could have done.
For risking your life, yeah, I guess it is.
And also, I never had a conversation about what if I get injured? What's the protocol? Are you going to privately airlift me back home? Am I going to be in some like remote Italian hospital for months?
Italian?
Sorry, not... It's Italian, isn't it?
Pamplona's in Spain.
No, Spain, sorry, Spain. Spanish, remote Spanish hospital.
But then, also, you're wearing a red T-shirt. If you got gored, it wouldn't be immediately obvious to onlookers. Everyone in their white T-shirts, they can go, shit, you've got blood, there's blood on your shirt, you've been gored. But, you know, you might be oblivious to the fact that one of your kidneys is actually on a bull's horn.
I thought I told you about the Pamplona thing. I always worry that I've already said this story in a previous Smith and Sniff.
Well, you're now one of two people I know who's run with the bulls in Pamplona, because TV's Richard Hammond did it as well.
Oh, he did.
Top Gear item.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
did you remember he sort of got scuffed by a bull at one point? He got close enough to get, you know, brushed by a bull. What do you think a bull weighs? 750 kilos more?
More. I think possibly more. These were bred for this job because obviously they ultimately get fought and killed, which I don't agree with because I didn't stay around for the matador kind of bull goading. But that's where the bulls end up. You know, they end up they go through the square and they end up getting funneled into the stadium. And only the bravest people / foolish people who run with the bulls run into the stadium with them. And then they close the gates and then people just goad them or get gored to death. And then about 2 hours later, the stadium fills up with people and they start the official kind of throwing the swords at the bull thing. But, yeah, rest assured.
I should admit, I've seen videos of matadors getting gored, and I've got to be honest, I'm on the bull's side when that happens. Just go.
If you're going
to antagonise a bull, you're a silly prick and you deserve what you get.
Well, you're also wearing really shit clothes. Can I just say that?
It's the clothes. It's, as well,
I mean,
yes. You're dressing
seriously.
Like an absolute fucking...
I mean, thinking about it now, you look like is someone from Monaco who's about 20 years old and has just had to buy the most painfully fashionable things that just don't work at all. And nobody's got the heart to turn around and go, listen, you look like a sort of shit B-side Romeo and Juliet character. Can you just go away? Talking
There's
of
nothing
which,
worse than a very short jacket, is there? Just like
very
jackets
short.
Have to be. There should be a legal minimum length for a jacket.
It's cut.
Matters or jackets do not meet it.
It's slash cut, a bit like the back end of an off-roader, so it can have a really high approach angle, and it doesn't scrape anything. You know what I mean? It's cut. It's chamfered at a certain angle.
Yeah, cut away like they're bobtailed.
Bobtail,
like a
bobtail
discovery. I've had my jacket bobtailed so that basically you can pinched in a small part of my undershirt.
That's right.
Just
that's
a couple
right.
of bits of info for you that I've Googled.
What about Matadors?
Adult bulls might weigh between 500 and 1,000 kilograms.
Okay, so...
That would have been an angle for your story. It's like, oh my God, I could be run over by something that weighs more than an original MX-5.
Well, yeah, if I'd had the chance to be so chatty during the run-up to what ended up just being quite terrifying. And I was saying, I won't go on about it, but I think the main tactic for bull running is, depending on how deranged you are, you have to be really good at sprinting on cobbles with lots of people in front of you whilst looking behind you, because you have to know... It's true. It's a bit like if I said to you, you need to drive really, really fast and put some hot laps in at Silverstone, but I want you to be doing it mostly looking in the rearview mirror. You would say to me, I don't think that's possible. Not even Dario Franchetti can do that. But that's what you kind of have to do, because you have to know when to abort a mission or whether to dive away from the bull. Because they will outrun you. They are outrunning you.
Yeah.
They are running with some nearly 30 miles an hour on cobbles. You can imagine there's no control. They're so fast, Richard. They are so fast. They've just had a cannon let off in the back of their bedroom. They're pissed right off. You know? Seriously. If you've ever really woken up a teenager, this is a whole new level. A whole new level. And of course, as soon as you hear the cannon go off and everyone's everyone's picked their part to start in the town, you've got that adrenaline, your legs go to mush, and I'm checking my trainers, making sure I've triple knotted them so nothing happens there.
Man.
And there's also old people's doorsteps onto the street, and you can, because there's so many people, it's so thick with people, you can't see people's doorsteps, so a lot of people trip over other people's doorsteps. And once you go down, you imagine you're going down and you realise there's a bull 3 seconds behind you.
And it could weigh more than an
original
Mercalis.
Yes, exactly. Jesus. That's the last thing that I'd be thinking about as it puts a hoof across my torso.
Well, now, come on, I know you. I think that might be the last thought that flashed through your mind. Like, this is, oh my God, this is like any 1960s family car landing on me.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like an Allegro plus 160 kilos. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a fully laden Allegro landing on me now.
Exactly. Wet weight. You know, like just before going on holiday, you've got an extra 5 litres of oil in the boot with a bungee wrap around it, just in case. Dad's brought some coolant. Like my dad always brought a gallon of antifreeze just cause.
Yeah. Yeah,
he had it. My dad brought a spare car battery. He was the ultimate prepper before they were called preppers. Bob was a proper prepper.
Wow.
I say was. He actually still is, thinking about it. But,
also, just to cap off something else we're talking about, I looked on the Ford website. They're still listing the Fiesta VIG nail. So they are still...
Are they?
Yeah, which is a surprise. Fiesta's just been fast-lifted, hasn't it, as well? So... I don't remember there being a Puma Vignale. The Focus has just been facelifted as well, hasn't it?
Oh, lads, so, it's Puma Vignale. He's on the ones and twos. And
going to
be mixing in some
definitely.
Rude tunes fresh from the Ibiza Wire Island and all that.
There's no Focus Vignale listed on the website, so...
I would. Would you buy a really heavily laden, like you say, retirement spec, boxes ticked, Mondeo Vignale?
Still listed. Mondeo Vignale still on the website.
Oh, you can still buy one. You can buy one now, right now.
Yeah. Well, according to
have they reduced it significantly?
Website.
Just because they probably sell about 12 a year.
Do you know guess the starting? It seems like you can only get one spec. Actually, looking at this, so
they just
recommended
everything.
On the road. Total price from Mondeo Vignale. Total price from.
It's tough. I'm going to say 42.
Ooh! You're in for a treat, my friend.
What?
£32,895.
I'm 10 out. 10 large.
10 out. Oh, £10,000.
Oh, what an absolute... I've just proved to the public that I'm out of touch. Well, yeah,
but usually when you're
out of
touch, you underdo it. Don't you go, oh, well, a pint of milk, isn't that about 20p? And but you've gone high thinking that... But maybe it's because you think that it looks like a 40 grand car. They are quite nicely done in their own sort of...
That's a car for life, though, isn't it? You know, like a bag for life. That's a car for life.
It might be.
You get a Mondeo, which nobody really wants anymore, but that doesn't mean they're bad. And you get the top spec with all the sort of retirement accoutrement on. I think that would be a real... That would be a delicious daily car. That could be delicious. Yeah. Maybe all the cool people have got Mondeo Vignales and all that.
So if you go for the, a couple of diesels, it's all auto now, apparently, with the Vignale.
Seriously, you can't buy a Manuel Mondeo?
Not in Vignale, no.
Oh, not in Vignale, right, okay. Right.
No, yeah, not according to this. Yeah. No, it's 8-speed. I don't quite understand. Oh, I see. So look, you can get 190 PS, so what, 180... 7 brake horsepower kind of diesel,
PS and all
8
that.
Speed auto, front wheel drive, or you can have that same engine with all wheel drive.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can have the 2 wheel drive hybrid. I'm going to go with the hybrid and see how much that is. That is
4 wheel drive hybrid.
No, it's only 2 wheel drive, the hybrid.
Okay. These are police cars, or they were in the States, weren't they? The Taurus. Didn't they call it the sex Taurus?
No, what was it called?
I thought it was
called something else.
Because it replaced the Crown Vic, didn't it?
Fusion, wasn't it? Well, no, because they were trying to get the cops into...
SUVs.
Explore SUVs, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So a rubbish. Mondeo Vignale Hybrid, £32,900. Or, if Sir would like the estate...
Oh, and I would.
And you would?
I would.
£34,300, that is...
Is it one of those cars that you could go into the dealer today and A, there's not a shortage of them, perhaps, but B, could you go in and go, look, the list price is £34,000, gentlemen, okay? You know this, I know this, I know you've not sold one in 2 years. I'm going to buy one off you today, but I want you to knock off £14,000. I will buy it in any colour that you have in stock. Do we have ourselves a deal or not? So I'm just going to suck a throat, sweet. Do we have ourselves a deal?
I'm trying to make this Mondeo as expensive as I can. I've added the panoramic roof. I've added the £250 paint. I've added the winter pack.
What does winter pack mean? Does it mean snow mode on the auto trans?
Heated steering. Oh, no, wait, hang on. No, this is right. Well, you already get heated steering wheel, heated front seats, blah, blah. On the Vignale. The Vignale Hybrid already has the heated steering wheel. So you get heated rear seats.
Heated rear seats, okay.
That's it. For £200, okay.
Well, it's reasonable value.
That's just completely unnecessary, but I'm going to add any driver assistance pack. I'm going to add that. That's £700. And then there's a load guard for the back. I'm going to add that for £225. That's all you can add. That's it. There's no more. It's got everything else you'd ever need. And in summary, that car is now £36,670. And it is creaking with equipment. It is absolutely loaded. The next thing you can do on this configurator is send this spec to the dealer. You dare me to send this to my local Ford dealer and see what they do?
Can you fax it?
Come on, mate. Seriously. Yeah. Or actually, just set it to print out and then fold it up, put it in an envelope and post it to them. Hello. Would you be so kind as to arrange this car for me? Thank you so much.
What, like a concierge at a hotel? You go, yeah. I've made a few arrangements. If you could...
Yes, would you mind? What I like is they've put dark alloy wheels on this car, which I don't like those per se, but what I like is that they're described on the Ford website as 19-inch dark tarnish alloy wheels.
Dark tarnish?
Tarnish is not a positive word, I would say. Things get tarnished. You go, oh no, you've tarnished it. It's
dark tarnish sounds like a... straight to DVD thriller. Doesn't it?
Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
In dark tarnish.
Oh, and Steven Seagal's got like the most obvious clip on ponytail out there.
Yeah. And he's been facelifted so much he looks like Roger Moore in that Centrifuge in that bomb.
Stop. Oh God, that's brilliant. Steven Seagal's face is amazing. Who's got? Oh, that was another thing I wrote down to talk about. 3 days ago, I insisted on sitting down late at night and watching Saturday Night Fever with my wife because she hasn't seen it for a long time and I haven't. And it made me realise how good-looking Travolta was, A.
Yes.
And confused at what Travolta and the people like him, why do they feel the need to just excessively... smash out the ice upon filler onto their face to the point where they do look like a waxwork of themselves.
That's weird.
If he went into Madame Tussauds, people would walk up to him and slowly rub their hand down his face to see if it was real.
And he does look like he can't sit in front of an open fire.
Oh, it's no way. No way.
But also, I sort of think he's done so much weird stuff now that really... What he needs to hope is that the technology shown in the film Face Off becomes a reality so he can have his face removed and sort of return to standard, like a car restoration.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take off all this aftermarket stuff. We're going to hopefully there's enough to go on. We'll keep the original VIN.
We're going to return Travolta's face to stock OEM face.
Yeah.
That's just brilliant.
Well, I mean, maybe resto mod him a bit. Like, maybe, I don't know how old Travolta is now, but maybe start to lose his hearing, so you could sort of, you know, do a few, you know, like you'd put a Bluetooth stereo into a classic car in a resto mod. Put a little hearing aid in there.
Travolta's 70? He's not 70 yet, is he?
I think he probably is, isn't he? Let's have a little look, John.
Well, Saturday Night Fever was what, 77? And I bet he was about 20 then.
Ooh, okay, so John Travolta was born in... 1954. He's 67.
Okay, so he's not 70 yet. I know he has a ranch, doesn't he, with its own airport. He basically has his own landing strip. It's more than a landing strip because he can take off commercial planes in his back garden.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. You've got to have earned a reasonable amount of money to be able to do that, I would say, to afford that and the upkeep of that. What I wonder is, having watched Saturday Night Fever, and me and my wife Chops came to the same conclusion. It's one of those iconic films that everybody knows. And when people talk about it, I think they've forgotten what happens in it, and actually not a lot does happen in it.
Yeah.
So you go, well, how can a film go down in history, and yet not a lot goes on? Oh, it's a bit like Bullet when people go on about Steve McQueen Bullet. It's an amazing film for the action, but the actual plot, the bit around all the car chasing's not great.
Yeah. But it's a classic example of a film where a scene or a sequence just overshadows the rest of it.
Just makes it.
Saturday Night Fever, everybody just thinks it's just all disco dancing. Yeah. It's not, is it? There's lots of like fighting and shit.
There is.
But like Psycho's actually sort of quite a slow-paced film with a lot of talking and things, and then there's that famous scene, and everybody just remembers that famous scene.
Yeah, that's right. What I did like about Saturday Night Fever was, I mean, when I say did like, I do remember that Travolta uses the C word 3 times. Which is a shocker. You're not expecting it. And it's seldom done these days, isn't it? You don't get the C-bomb in modern films very often, I don't think.
Not a lot, no.
And the other thing is the car they drive around in is a 64 Impala. Pillarless four-door, which I did used to own. So I feel like I do have a minor affinity to Saturday Night Fever. And also, I realised, I said, which didn't impress Chops at all. After the film, I said, I've got the double 12-inch picture disc of Saturday Night Fever somewhere. I went upstairs and had a rifle through one of my hoarded boxes, and sure enough, I found it. And it had loads of still pictures of all the dance routines and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. I have to say, it was amazing. And she just looked at me like, seriously, you've bought this and you've owned it all these years. I went, yeah, I have. Yeah. And I'm cool with that. Bee Gees did some top. I mean, Jive Talk. Jive Talking. What a track, honestly. Yeah, I'll send you a photo. I'll send you a photo of the double 12-inch. It is quite something.
Yeah. I just wanted to pick up on something about the Mondeo Vignale that really caught my eye in the sort of standard equipment list. It's going through all the stuff, the tarnished wheels.
Oh yeah, dark tarnish.
Stained or whatever they're called. But then they make a point of saying it has standard suspension.
They make
what I think that the point is it's not the spoke suspension. And I sort of think, ooh.
Yeah.
I bet that'll have a nice ride.
I bet it will. We've got to get one in. If we ever go on a tour, can we book one in? That would be perfect. Mondeo.
We could always just ask to borrow one, couldn't we? Anyway.
I think it'd be a nice thing to try. Yeah.
Although I bet they'll go, what? No, we don't have one. No one has one.
Well, can you make one? Can you order one?
Can you build one for us? We just want to borrow it for a week and then you can do what you like with it. And just sell it to us for £700.
Do you reckon Travolta has six of them that he only uses airside?
They're unregistered.
They're all unregistered. He got a bit of a deal on them because he's John Travolta and he just uses them all around the airport space for doing various jobs. So all the people that work for him use them. And
hey, now, guys, look. Actually, that's reminding me, since you've mentioned fleets of cars and airports and deals,
yes,
of a story
that's
in my new book, Boring Car Trivia 3.
Have you got a new book out, Rich?
I've got a new book out, mate.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, because you wrote the foreword for it, which is really excellent and possibly my favourite part of the book. So, yes, Boring Car Trivia 3 is out now and is business as usual. If you've seen the first two books, it's just lots of really arcane facts. It is a bit different. It's longer. There are more words in it. A lot more words in it, actually, than the last one.
Is that a selling point? Is that?
I don't know. I feel like because people go, well, you know, they want value, don't they? It's not much thicker, but that's because I changed the typeface. So it's a more dense typeface to allow me to cram in more facts in the same sort of broadly the same space, about 10 pages thicker. But there's a story in it which I've been chasing down for ages and wanted to put in the last two books and couldn't quite get some details, and I spoke to someone who seemed to know. You remember the Cadillac STS when that was sold in this country?
Yes.
In the early 2000s. And GM nominated, I think, 12 Vauxhall dealers to become Cadillac centres.
Cadillac centre. Love that.
Put the car on sale. It was a total disaster. They sold a handful and plugged on for a few years and they just gave up.
Oh.
And after they'd officially withdrawn Cadillac from the UK again, there were six STSs unsold in a compound at Vauxhall's place in Luton, next to the road that goes to Luton Airport. And I saw these cars at the time. I remember it. If you drove up the road to Luton Airport, there used to be a compound there that Vauxhall owned.
Yeah.
And sort of sat there, almost on their own, not surrounded by other cars. There were just these six STSs.
What, like they were being punished for being disruptive in assembly at school?
They were sort of on the naughty step. And they were there for ages, long, long after Cadillac had been withdrawn.
Like how long? 2 years?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they disappeared. And then I found out what happened to them. A local minicab firm.
Oh.
The owner was driving up that road and he kept seeing these cars. And then one day he drove round to the Vauxhall office and he went, I'd like to see one of your fleet salespeople. And he went, those six Cadillacs, I know that they're just sitting there unloved. Go on. Let's do a deal. I'll take them off your hands. And they did a deal for God knows how little money. And he took all six STSs off their hands and they became his sort of posh fleet for a while.
Airport VIP.
Airport VIP. But I've been told by someone who worked at Vauxhall that if you were out in Luton late at night and you got drunk and had a curry, you called the local minicab firm, there was a chance that one of these STSs would turn up and take you home. Which, if you work for Vauxhall, was just a reminder of how you'd screwed up selling Cadillacs in the UK again. But so that's just one of the stories.
See, that's
in
why
Boring Car Trivia 3.
I like that because there's a chance that one of those Cadillacs is still out there. So it will have been through the mangle of a minicab company. It will have sat for 2 years and possibly had water ingress in that time. But who cares, because it's going to have people chundering and shouting in it anyway. So love it. I love your trivia. I feel like, with my marketing head on the run up to Christmas, could you do could you do your own version of an oral advent calendar where every day of December you read out an interesting fact from the book? If you want to, this is optional, you can wear some Giles Brandreth hideous jumper and look at the camera a little bit too long and then close the book and walk off, you know, that lingering stare. I think you should do that.
I'll consider it, or maybe save that for I was thinking of melding all three books together at some point into a sort of compendium and selling that in
Would you call it Vignali edition or
the Vignali edition? Yes, and it'll have the standard suspension.
It's just everything. It'll have everything as standard.
It'll
There's
have
no
everything
options.
On it. Yeah, yeah. No, you can't put options on it. It's all there. If it's not there, you don't need it. Would be, I suppose, the way to do it. Anyway, so yes. Well, there we go. That was a candid effort to promote my new book, which I can only recommend to you on the basis that it has. A good cover designed by Ross Wallace, the illustrator, who some of you may know from Twitter, has abstract bits of cars on the front, and they're all cars with three in their name. So it's a bit of a guessing game to identify all the parts, and an excellent foreword by Johnny, who is...
Well, thank you.
You're listening to now.
I wrote that when I was in a huge amount of discomfort, illness discomfort. I was tapping on my computer really slowly. I felt a bit like, imagine, I found out the other day that Angela Lansbury is exactly the same age as my grandma. My grandma turned 96 2 weeks ago, as did Angela Lansbury. Yeah, so obviously my grandma didn't write about murders. Well, if she did, I didn't know. But no, I like that fact. But I feel
that's
like,
good.
Imagine if she's still hunched over a typewriter today with sort of fairly kind of Mary Berry crooked old fingers. And fairly Mary Berry does sound like a Peel session, doesn't it?
Coming up later. Fairly Mary Berry.
And the Vignalis.
I mean, imagine if your grandma actually was Angela Lansbury. That would be tremendous.
I love my grandma. She's a dude.
I'm not suggesting to try and replace your grandma, but just sort of in a parallel universe.
Well, I think that would be ace. Or I find out that she knows her, and they used to meet for coffee and cake now and again. That's brilliant, isn't it? Well, I'd love to meet somebody like that for coffee and cake, and that's the only relationship you have with them. Every other month, you meet them for coffee and cake for 2 hours, and that's it.
Don't you have mates like that where you only ever see them in one context and it's sort of weird to see them in other contexts?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends which I don't see enough, and it annoys me, and I'm ashamed of it, because you realise, you go, oh yeah, well next Christmas we'll do a big thing, or we'll do a big thing before Christmas and we'll all do a thing, and it doesn't happen because everyone's really busy and time rattles on and all that, and so and all that. I wrote down two things that we haven't talked about. One of them was people that drive with their mouth open. are you aware of people?
What,
have you ever seen a sort of mouth open driver?
I mean, I've
such a concentration.
No, I've seen people
mouth.
Who do other stuff with their mouths open, so I can imagine it, but I don't think I've ever noticed. An actual mouth-open driver.
Imagine a krill-sifting helmsman, if you possibly will. My mate's dad, I won't name him, but he used to drive a Peugeot 405. He used to drive with his mouth completely open. Completely open.
What?
Yeah, and I'm wondering... I've been thinking about... I mean, I know it's a concentration thing, like people put a tongue out one way when they're writing, etc.
Yeah.
But is it... Could it be a primitive form of radar? Could you use the sensations, the air pressure, the light, something bouncing back from the rear of the mouth to judge distance or to be able to improve your driving in some way? A bit like those little panels they have on the front of cars. Like the Ferrari Roma one, which looks awful.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when we were at Goodwood and we saw that Roma and we were pissing ourselves that it's a very nice-looking car until you get to the lower grille?
Yeah.
And it looks like someone's taken a cheap burglar alarm sensor and whacked it into a bunch of chicken wire.
Honestly, it's sort of stapled it in place. Just, you know what it is? It's a no-name GoPro. Awful. It's a no-name GoPro. It's been self-tapped in. And they go, no, it's staying.
So you've gone on Amazon. You've gone, I need a little GoPro-style camera. I'll just get the cheapest one I can. And it's 14 quid. And you think, well, I mean, how bad can it be? And then you just got a load of chicken wire out of the shed that's all already sort of malformed and kind of crudely gummed it all together.
I don't understand how anyone finds that acceptable. It's a deal breaker.
It's staggeringly poor, isn't it? And yet the rest of that car is really nice, I think.
Yeah, it's not a fussy car elsewhere. Whereas the SPF 90, you know, the very very protective sun cream version,
it's incredibly fussy. On your kids, particularly.
Fussy. It's just so fussy.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's too much. Like it, but I don't.
No, it's too over embellished. It's rotten. It's rotten for me, I'm afraid.
I'll buy you one then.
Well, I'm increasingly confused about supercars. I think that they will become less collectible and people will care less, and then there'll be more of a thirst for things like really cool manual little coupes and fast saloons and stuff. I think the supercar market will wither away and die, and then any supercar built after about 2007 nobody will give a shit. That's my prediction. So Harry Metcalf can take that one and run with it if he wants to.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really buy contemporary supercars anyway,
No.
He?
Sort of... There's a reason. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Because he knows. He knows, Richard. He knows.
He probably does. He does know. That's sure.
I think Harry needs to set up a new channel called Harry's Fam, which is obviously like Harry's Farm, but missing one of the letters. And it just talks about, because he needs to go further in, like the Osborne family, where it's about the family life now. We've done work life and we've done car life. Mm. I need Harry's Fam now. I think Harry's Fam would be great.
What about Harry's Shed, where he just goes in there and he's got a stash of grot mags and he sometimes needs to like file down something on a workbench.
What is it? Is it live webcam? So there's lots of inactivity when the door's shut and there's just like a mouse in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then suddenly he runs in, puts all the lights on at night, and he goes, I've got to find a Phillips head screwdriver. Where are they? Where are the screwdrivers?
It's 3 a.m. and suddenly a very bleary Harry blunders in, going, oh, the bloody smoke alarm's beeping. I'm pretty sure that I did leave a pack of batteries in here.
I've got to get a 9 volt somewhere.
Yeah, it's 9 volts, exactly. Good. You can never find the 9 volts when you need them. But
Harry's Shed, there you go. But there's absolutely no vehicles or vehicle parts in it because they're all in the garage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's just, but then sometimes it's like, hello, welcome to Harry's Shed, where today I'm trying to find the paint that we used in the hall because I've scuffed a wall and my wife has asked if I can just touch it up a bit. And then, of course, he's not labelled any of the cans, so he's having to go and jemmy them all open with a screwdriver.
And just dip a finger in and have a look.
Hang on, let's have a look here. Right, okay. Okay, so this is Welsh Slate Grey. No, that's too dark. I think that's the dining room. Oh, God, this is a nightmare. I can't remember what the colour was called. Mouse's head or something.
Oh, that would be... And people marvel at the fact they went, oh, yeah, I watched all 2.5 hours of the one where Harry tried to start the strimmer for the first time in 2 years. And it was just going, pissing thing. You know when people start tugging a strimmer faster when they get more annoyed, or a chainsaw. Fucking thing. And it's not even catching. It's like my brother would say. It's like, it's not even firing. Stop it. It's not even trying.
You're not making it any better by doing that.
No, it's just like it's dripping two stroke onto your knees. You will go. You will go. I've had
Some of the episodes are very short because it's just Harry will just pop in and go, oh, hello, I just need some string. And then he's off again.
Don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. Got that horrible throat still. Apologies, listeners. It's grim.
We're both aware of us. I've got that ultra cold that's going around at the moment, and it's rubbish. So I think we've all forgotten what having a cold's like.
It's
been going on for like almost a week now. It's like, just piss off, cold. I've had enough. But anyway,
is it any better than an ultra marathon? I mean, which would you rather do? Do you want to have an ultra cold or do an ultra marathon?
How long is an ultra marathon?
I don't know. Ask Eddie Izzard. He does them every day, all day.
He does one every day, doesn't he? It's just like...
365 marathons.
Statistically, he's
incredible.
More likely to be doing a marathon at any point than not.
I mean, it's... that when you think about what he has managed to do, it is incredible. You've got to have unbelievable drive. It's not just fitness, it's mindset. I just wouldn't have the mindset to go, shall I just do this again tomorrow when I wake up and I feel really, really tight and horrible?
Oh, my God.
Shall I just do it again?
So achy, and you go, no, what I really should do is rest. No, I'm going to do it all again. Mm. How old is Eddie Izzard? He's older than us, isn't he? He must be.
I reckon he is possibly 50. I reckon he's knocking on his...
podcast that Googles people's ages. Smith and Smith. On, he's bloody hell. Do you know how old Eddie Izzard is?
No, I don't. Hence.
Flipping heck.
Hence not knowing.
Hence not replying when I originally asked. He's 59.
Is he? Hang on.
I would have guessed he was early 50s.
So I've done 10. Suppose. I've gone 10 over, 10 under, whereas I went 10 over with the Vignale price. I've gone 10, 10 under with Eddie Izzard's age.
Well, definitely not a day to do Potmaster, I would say.
I've got to do Potmaster at some point.
Ooh, 18 years out. If I go on Potmaster, I might just fuck with them and go, okay, no. ABBA released Waterloo in what year? And I'll go,
2003.
Was it 1997? Yeah. What the fuck?
He'd get really... Yeah,
just mess with him. Mess with his head.
He'd be like, Gary, you're going to have to cut this bit out. What are you thinking, you idiot?
Okay, idiot. Somehow you've got through to 3 and 10 because the other contestant didn't bother ringing back.
They died, yes. So
today,
they had a heart attack.
Actually crushed by a part falling off a jumbo jet during the contest. So, 3 and 10. Today, your 3 and 10 are for Phil Collins. Strawberry flavour, Wigan Athletic, and cheese.
Adidas 3 Stripe.
Oh, piss off. What are you talking about?
Just talking absolutely hot as shit.
Is it the Mazda Dolmio, Ken? Don't fuck with me.
I want Ken to do that. Go close to the mic and lower his voice and be sinister just for a bit.
You gave us your address so we could send you a T-shirt on the radio. Well, remember what that also means. Yeah. I know where you live.
Absolutely. I'm going to put 3 big... jugs of AdBlue through your letterbox. That's what I'm going to do.
And remember, AdBlue is chemically the same as piss.
Yes. I'm going to fill your foyer with piss. That's what I'm going to do.
Foyer?
I love the word foyer. Don't you think it's great?
Coming soon to YouTube, Harry's foyer.
He's just a lesser-known driver that never quite made the high formulas, but, you know, he's still handy. Probably did a little bit of testing for somebody like McLaren at one point. Foyer. What would it be his Christian name? Charles?
Charles Foyer.
Foyer, yeah. He's Foyer, handy. Yeah. Plato knows him.
Yeah, of course. They go way back. Naturally. Yeah, he still smokes, even though he's in his late 50s.
Yes, he's sort of fit, but still smokes. And
wiry. Yeah, yeah.
We don't know how build. How does he do this? How does he maintain this?
Probably the smoking. Actually, he just smokes instead of eating.
Oh, he does.
Drinks
do that.
A lot of very strong coffee.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. He's the textbook candidate for manuka piss.
Oh God.
Yeah,
he probably only urinates about once every 3
days. I was going to say, he's not a daily wazzer, and when he does, it's more of a pipette than a...
like owls, they don't shit, they actually cough up pellets, don't even the bones and things and stuff. Like, he just, like, a single like dense sphere of urine pops out every 3 days.
Sphere of urine.
So you can actually pick it up with your fingers. It's so dense.
What, roll like it between finger and thumb, and anyone would go, hang on a minute, that looks a little bit like Blue Tank, but a different colour.
Yeah, that's how dehydrated he is, because he just is just thick coffee and strong cigarettes. And but then he'll get in a car and absolutely door handle it to a very competitive time against some younger drivers.
Yeah, exactly. And then pull into the pits and just talk his way into bed with sort of a middle-aged woman who just keeps twinkling her eyes at him.
Yeah.
And he manages to do it in 20 seconds. You just go, that's simply not possible. That's no one's ever done that.
Yeah, that's Charles Foyer.
Can't go from a cold call to like actual in-bed stuff in 30 seconds. That's ridiculous. Charles Foyer.
That's racing drivers for you. I'm liking this idea that Harry expands the whole franchise to the point where there's like Harry's spare bedroom, which is very minimalist indeed. And it's just every so often Harry will pop in to get some wrapping paper in the drawer under the bed. But otherwise, there's nothing going on. Unless they've got friends to stay, but then it's a bit weird because it's not Harry. It's just some people.
Harry doesn't tell the guests that it has a webcam and just goes along with it.
There's a YouTube show about the room they're staying
with
in.
With his business hat on, he's like, this could be gold. This one will get good views.
Yeah, because they might have a row or start shagging or something, and that'll be good for views, so I'm going to leave it.
I think that's great.
Well, there we go. We should probably wrap this up because both of us sound pretty rancid, frankly.
I've not got a voice for radio, have I?
Let's not overstay our welcome. So I've got three things to tell you. First of all, speaking of YouTube channels, Johnny's got one of those. It's called The Late Break Show, and The Late Break Show Live is getting closer. It's on Saturday, the 6th of November in Manchester.
Oh, Manchester. And it's at,
what I will still always call the GMEX Centre, which is already massive. I'm going to be full of cars and things, and me and him talking some shite, as Mancunians would say, on stage.
We would love you to come.
Yeah, we'd love you to come. Yeah. Please come, because we're very excited about it. We'd like to share.
Well, I've booked it as well, so I'd like you. Johnny's very much like it to be filled.
It'll be great.
And all that.
Second thing I've got to tell you is that, as you might have heard earlier on, I've got a new book out. It's called Boring Car Trivia 3. If you come to Johnny's Late Break live show, we'll be selling copies there. Or if you've already got a copy, come and see me and I'll sign it for you or write something rude in the front. what's the third thing I've got to tell you? We talked earlier on about Psycho and the shower scene. In order to get an appropriately shocked reaction when the shower curtain went back, they suddenly piped cold water into the shower.
Did they? But they didn't. Yeah. They didn't tell her.
Same as you know when Alan Rickman falls off the building in Die Hard. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Christmas film.
He wasn't happy about doing that stunt, but his face is suddenly really shocked. It's because they released him earlier than they said they were going to.
Did they?
To get that reaction, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that I can see that working. There's a Roger Moore centrifuge face.
Yeah.
That's really tickled me. Alan Rickman, early.
Yeah.
I bet he had some really nice saloon cars.
I'd see him as a Jagman.
Jag XJ. It's weird. Maybe it's the German character in that particular film. I have him as a sort of BMW 7 man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He likes a good sturdy 7.
Well, if anyone knows any of the cars that Alan Rickman used to drive in real life, do get in touch on that or any other topics you want to share with us. hello@smithandsniff.com.
Yes.
And we have a Patreon as well.
And we're very thankful for Patreon. It.
com/SmithandSniff. Your contributions are very generous, very gratefully received, and do enable us to keep this going without our wives saying, why don't you go and get proper jobs? So thank you for that.
Quite.
That's all the housekeeping. So anyway, we'll wrap this up.
We do have, we've got Smith and Sniff merchandise, if one might be interested in such things.
That's another way.
Products.
In which we keep the lights on and keep ourselves in night nurse and throat sweets for now. Hopefully next week we won't sound so absolutely chuffing awful.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'd like to be able to taste something as well. That would be good. Yeah, that'd be good.
We'll see. Join us next week to find out. But until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye. I had several messages from my dad saying you really did sound quite unwell in this week's podcast. Are you okay?